Okay, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the regular board meeting on Monday, October the 21st. Roll call, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Danny?
Here.
Boyer, here. Zayas?
Absent.
Schmidt?
Here.
Vaccaro?
Be absent.
Barry?
Here.
Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any town hall? Okay, our consent agenda. Items to be included. Anyone want to fill out any of them? Trustee Olson?
Yes, I'd like to remove item 1A, minutes from the September 16th Committee of the Whole meeting. Item 1E, approval of bill list. Item 1F, approval of transfer of funds from now savings account to checking account on October 15, 2024. Item 1H, review of financial report. And item 1G, travel reimbursement approval. Barry and Olson.
J. 1J.
Yes, I'm sorry.
J. All right, the minutes from the September meeting.
I'd like to move to table the minutes of the September 16, 2024 Committee of the Whole meeting. The reason being that it does not reflect the ideas presented by trustees DeSchmidt and Olson regarding what needs to be considered. They don't indicate that the space needs analysis from the trustees' viewpoint shouldn't have any limiting factors such as the expansion of the facility, and that is something that must come much later in the process. The trustees also expressed that alternative energy sources shouldn't be ruled out in consideration of the process. Trustees made it clear that the consultations acknowledged that the board would have a say in the way in which the community survey was conducted and the questions that were asked.
And I just wanted to add to that too, that Trustee Barry did express something that was really good, was the questionnaire when it goes out, that it'd be more open-ended. You know, that people can write in what they want rather than choices. I think that was what you were trying to convey there. Right. So I think we had a lot of feedback, and I felt that it didn't really reflect, I agree, the meeting.
I also feel that this whole space needs and the analysis process is one of the most important things that this board will do for a number of years, and as a result, the minutes should be reflective of the input of the board. So I ask that this be tabled, or move that this be tabled.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Danny? Absent. Boyer? Yes. Zayas?
No, I'm here.
Sorry.
My mind is absent.
I heard the pause.
The pause is because I'm trying to.
Sorry, I'm a slow.
You just want the minutes to be more in detail? Is that what you're looking for?
Right, because basically we have about four lines that really don't have any of the specifics of what was discussed.
I'm going to say no on that.
Boyer, yes. Zayas?
Absent.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Caro?
Absent.
Barry?
I'm going to vote no because I don't understand tabling this motion for another reason, because minutes are not an ordinance, they're not the policy of the board, and they don't really tie us into any particular course of action in the future. So I'm voting no, because I don't know. Tabling does mean table it to another meeting. Normally we handle things right in the meeting right here. So I'm voting no tonight.
But with three yeses, motion passes.
And I just want to mention at the Space Needs meeting that we had with the management team and Dan and Tiffany, they gave us a very detailed list of what was discussed at the committee of the whole meeting with the trustees. So we do have, we can work that into it. So we did receive a list of the things that you all suggested.
Yeah, so it's not part of the public record, the communications to you. And that's another reason.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Thank you.
So we'll move it to next month's meeting. Okay, 1E.
1E, approval of bill list. When I reviewed the checks, I had a couple of things that I wanted to bring to the board's attention. Check number 4722, dated 10/12/24, to NetSource Solutions, in the amount of $67,458 for the final cabling installation, doesn't include a lien waiver. And I don't believe that any construction should be paid without a lien waiver. You know, there are physical attachments that have been added to our building, and we have no release from the vendor, but we paid them. I was surprised that, I think Roger reviewed the contract, that he didn't specify that it should have been included. But I'd like to see that going forward, and I hopefully will have that lien waiver obtained, because we're hanging out there dangerously, in my opinion, for over $67,000 that we've expended. The second thing in regards to this particular disbursement is, number one, it was the amount paid exceeded the budget. So I believe that this should have come to the board for approval before being released. But also, our policy clearly states that any line item in our budget that goes over the budgeted amount, the board has to be notified and the board has to approve that exception. So I think we have two process issues here that I'd like to see corrected. So
both are involved with the cabling, that's what you're talking about.
I'm sorry?
Both
with the cabling, yes. I noticed several other minor things that I wanted to just bring to the attention of the board, because one of the things that I believe each of us, when we have our turns to review invoices, should be looking for is, does the disbursement make sense, and does it make sense in terms of where it's being allocated? I brought this to Carolyn's attention, but when I was reviewing the invoices, I noticed that the hotspots that we lend to the public, which we pay for on an annual basis, we have six and at a charge of $720, which that really, the amount doesn't make any difference, but this is an item that was charged to the IT budget as opposed to the materials budget. And it is a circulating item, and so I think that it should be coming out of the circulation books, materials budget, as opposed to a specific not related to patient or patron lending.
Yeah, from my understanding, and Manny, correct me, the $720 is not for the physical items, it's for the service of providing the like Wi-Fi kind of out in the wild, right?
Correct, it's the service fees.
It's the service fees. And so I think reason why it kind of falls towards Manny is it's like the same idea as like offering Wi-Fi inside the building. It's like a IT service, whereas it's actual physical items don't fall that way. And so we talked about that today at the manager's meeting, actually, about incorporating hotspots and the actual physical item into the Library of Things type of collection budget line. But I still think that the actual service of providing the...
But irregardless, the airtime that we're leasing, the 720 represents, is a service that the public is able to borrow.
So I understand. I think my understanding of it.
The other couple of other quick things. Groot has again raised their price substantially. Over the course of the last year, the services, a little over the last year, their services have increased by about 25%. I asked Director Wessel to look out for other vendors. In our city contract, it's only for residential. The businesses are able to buy commercial trash removal and recycling from any vendor. And I see trucks in the village of at least four other companies. So
I did speak with Larry about that today, and he is looking into it.
Thank you. And last, I have a question in regards to Baker and Taylor invoices. One of the things that I noticed when I was going through the invoices was that there were, and I know it was inadvertently done, but I think it helps to explain sometimes when we see a late payment that's like 6 months or longer before it's paid, that perhaps they're being misfiled. There were four invoices attached to one of the checks that hadn't been paid, weren't part of the check disbursement. So I asked my fellow board members, as you're looking through things, does it make sense? And, you know, ask if you don't understand. So that I would move that we approve the checks disbursements for the period.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I wanted to withhold 1B. I had to add something to it. I didn't get a chance to do that.
Okay, well, let's finish what we're doing here with the bill list. And actually what we'll do, Trustee DeSchmidt, is we'll go through all of Trustee Olson's,
okay,
and then
that's
we'll
what
come
I wanted
back
to make
and
sure.
Pull
okay.
B out for you. Roll call.
Okay. Olson?
Yes.
Dayton?
Yes.
Boyer? Yes. Sias? Absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro? Absent. Barry?
Yes.
Okay. And 1F now, the transfer of funds.
At this point, I want to talk about the transfer, because one of the things that I'm not sure whether we're doing or not, and I'm concerned that we need to be if we're not, and that is over the court from this point until March, the latter part of March, we will be receiving no additional substantial cash inflow. So we will be utilizing our investment funds as necessary and drawing those down. Have we done a cash flow analysis that we can provide to Sawyer and Falduto to let them know that and this month we anticipate needing this amount of money, so that they don't take the $1 million that at the end of September was in our liquid investment account with them and tie it up in long-term
We have not. I asked John to be at the meeting tonight, but they had previous engagements, so he's planning on coming in November, so we were going to review that in the next month before he comes out.
I had, back in January, suggested to President Daney that we needed to form the finance committee that is part of our bylaws, with the idea that that would allow us to internally do the cash flow forecast and have the input of members. Sadly, President Daney decided that that wasn't something that she wanted to do. So I ask now, who is going to do that?
I will work with James on it.
Is that something, Trustee Olson, that you'd be interested in being appointed to?
Form the committee, and I would be more than happy to.
We'll put that on November's list.
That was all that I thought was important as far as the transfer. I want to move to approve that transfer. I also, though, want to ask the question about why it was critically important that we do that transfer, why we had to issue the check to our cabling company 9 days before a regularly scheduled board meeting.
When we were doing the transfer of funds last month, it was overlooked for the IT cabling project, so that was why we had to do the transfer, because we had transferred funds into the investment account as well. So it made our bank account lower than our $100,000 threshold. So we made the transfer because we didn't take into account that $67,000 in regards to paying the bill. It's overlooked on my part, and I apologize for that.
So is there a motion? Did you make a motion?
You did.
I did.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes.
Boyer? Yes. Sias? Absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro? Absent. Barry?
Yes.
Okay, and your review of financial report, September 30th.
Yes. In looking through the financial reports, two things. I'm coming back to the cabling. I'm going to make a motion to approve the exception to the budget or increase the budget to cover the costs of this line item for the cabling, because right now we're in violation of board policy. Board policy says that any line item in which we exceed the budgeted amount needs to be brought to the board for the board's approval. So I'm asking that we do some cleanup housework.
So that you're making that motion?
I'm making the motion to increase the cabling budget to reflect our final payment to our cabling company.
Second.
Any other discussion?
No, I have a couple other things. I also, in looking through the budget, noted that the telephone system is now 31% of the annual budget when it should be 25%. I noted that the checks to be approved, that we had a total of $2,331 in the amounts that we approved tonight. And I'm wondering if we are, in fact, at a point where we're not going to be in under the budget of $25,000.
We just did actually receive a credit from AT&T regarding
one of the last bills for the telephone system. So that credit was about $800. So whether that gets credited to a different AT&T bill or comes back to us in the form of a check, we can reduce that by that amount.
Okay, thank you.
When are we going to be dropping AT&T? I know we talked earlier about the transition.
So in terms of, I'm working on the POTS lines now. That should be done within a month. And then the only AT&T bill that we have to keep is the one that relates to our actual internet connection. But we will no longer have any sort of phone service or anything with them.
So our phones are working now on a different line, correct?
They are working off of the internet.
Okay.
It's a voice over internet protocol.
And we can't drop AT&T phone service because?
We dropped the business telephony portion of it already.
Okay.
That's where that credit came from. And then the POTS lines, those are, I have another solution for them, and that will reduce that line item significantly on a monthly basis. There's a little bit of an investment up front, though.
Is there a way to reach AT&T to just negotiate this final exit to see if, you know, because we're exiting from them, is there a way to contact AT&T to say, can we look at this? We're needing a less amount. Is there a way to?
That'll drop off as soon as I get the replacement solution in place. Because we do need the POTS lines or an equivalent service in order for us to remain compliant with our elevator emergency services and security systems.
Okay.
Systems like that.
And the last item is, I believe that there is a spreadsheet issue with the financials that we're getting from our account. And I'll give you an example. If you look at the second page of the detailed expenses.
What page is that?
Of our financial statements.
What page is that, Trustee Wilson?
Because we're on the computer. I don't have it printed up like you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's if you, where it goes down the detail after the bar chart, the next, if you skip to the second page after the bar chart that shows total revenues, expenses, and unexpended revenue. Under building operations, the line item for electric, if you go to the right in the column that is just to the left of the vertical line, that's total, year-to-date total, it shows that we have zero electric costs. And that suggests to me that they've got a spreadsheet error. I don't know because, none of us have the actual spreadsheet. We don't know how rampant throughout this whole report those types of errors may be. And the numbers we have here could be substantially wrong. I don't think so, but I ask that when we're reviewing the financial statements and initialing them, that we're paying attention to what we're getting. So I move to accept the financial statements, even though they're wrong.
There was a motion on the table about increasing the IT cabling line that was never voted on.
Okay.
Pardon me?
There was a motion on the table about increasing the IT cabling budget line.
And I seconded.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, and I seconded. Yeah.
So I think that needs to be voted on. Or if it gets voted on.
Am I doing this? Yeah. Okay. Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes.
Boyer? Yes. Sias absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro absent. Barry?
Yes.
All right, I move to accept the financial statements with their errors, and I'd like that as part of my comment or part of the motion, and refer it back to our accountant to ascertain what the problems are and provide us with a corrected September board report or September financial statement as in addition to when they prepare our October financial statements, so that we can see what those differences and errors were and how substantial they might have been.
And there was a second. Trustee Schmidt, did you second that before?
No, I just made it. I seconded the budget, yeah.
Second.
Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias, absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro, absent. Barry?
Yes.
And the last thing for Trustee Olson, the travel reimbursement approval.
This is my understanding that we have before us a discussion of not only the amounts, but our practices of how we're reimbursing.
I think right now, for intents and purposes, we are going to approve, hopefully the board will approve the transactions as is. There are some questions about tip and tax, and so we are we plan to revamp the whole travel reimbursement policy and the forms to make it more streamlined, because we find it very difficult.
Clear. For everybody.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, you know, when you go to these events, everybody's booking something. Some people will book to stay somewhere at a distance because they don't mind driving. Some people want to stay closer because they want to be able to walk or it's connected. So that's a choice. Some people need to just be closer on site, you know, for breaks or such. So it's an individual decision. I know that Trustee Barry stayed an extra day, and that was okay. We discussed it last month. It was fine to go 3 days. And that could be part of the variance in the cost, but there is a bit of a cost jump. So I don't know if in the future we need to look at maybe, I don't know this year how many meals were served at the facility, and if people had meals at their hotel, you know, that came complimentary. I don't know all those parameters, but it's really, you know, up in the air. You can't weigh it out. I just think that, you know, the trustees, you know, they were honest in submitting it, and I don't know what the outcome was on either, other than one trustee stayed 2 days, one trustee stayed 3, but I don't know anything more than that, you know, that would make it that difference.
I don't want to see us in a Dalton, Illinois situation.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Trustee Olson, are you saying my report is somewhat near what's going on in Dalton, Illinois? I take that. That's really
ridiculous.
Going on.
You're off the edge now.
I mean,
that's nowhere near what's going on at all.
Everything. I submitted everything. Dalton, the mayor there, doesn't do that.
Do you know what's going on in Dalton?
So I take offense at that, Trustee Olson.
I don't think that, you know, everybody's provided their receipts, and we should let it go at that. If you went on the cheap end, congratulations. But receipts are provided. Don't accuse someone of doing something underhanded, whether you like anybody or not. If the receipts are provided and you can say, well, I only did it for half of your price, good for you, congratulations, but don't criticize someone else if the receipts are provided. That, I believe you owe Trustee Barry an apology.
I'd like to see the receipts. I was told that they would be shown to us this evening.
We have never asked for receipts.
I was told by Director Wessel.
We do have copies, but then President Daney responded to me and Mallory.
I did. We have never asked. It's like you're putting somebody under a microscope. And Trustee Olson, I think you're out of line. I don't think, you know, what did you have? You had those naked women up in your room, didn't you? I mean, come on, seriously. Let's move on from this.
I would like to see the receipts that I was told when I asked Carolyn.
I have the original submissions that was given to me because I requested it last month.
No, I want to see the final. I want to see the final accounts.
Yeah, those are estimates. So I don't know how far off the final is from the estimate, but all I'm saying is that maybe one of the trustees, their registration fee was included into their reimbursement. I don't know how it was all planned out.
No.
All I know is what was submitted.
We're speculating at this point. Okay?
Exactly. But we
and
can't.
So, like, that's
we can't
that.
Speculate.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous. Trustee Barry has done nothing but help and guide us
right.
Library throughout his tenure here. So.
I suggest if you're that adamant about looking at receipts, okay, then make an appointment with either Assistant Mallory or with Carolyn and come into their office and see it, because we're not producing them tonight. I've never asked anyone, if a board, to see somebody else's receipts for a trip or classes.
I was told by our director when I asked about this on Friday that she would be presenting them tonight.
Oh, she has them. You have them?
I have them.
She has them, but I told her it wasn't necessary.
To bring them.
But a trustee asked for them. Why can't he see,
She has them, but what are you?
I don't know.
I'm accusatory?
Not, you know what, Peggy? Don't point a finger.
I don't
appreciate it.
I'm not
accusatory anybody. I'm asking if Carolyn has something. If Carolyn has something that a trustee asked for,
call
and look at it. I don't want to look at it.
Carolyn, if you have them, hand them over to Trustee Olson.
Do we have to do this now? Like, can this be after the meeting? I mean, it's been called to question.
Yes, the question's been called. Hold it. We're going to produce these to you after the meeting.
Those are copies. JGS is original.
If you just give me a copy of mine, I want a copy of this.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have approved anything if something seemed off to me. So, you know, we had a conversation about, do we approve tips? Well, if a trustee or a staff member gave a server a $100 tip on a $10 bill, that would be a red flag to us. You know, we wouldn't approve that. We would question that. Everything in this paperwork is clear and concise. Receipts were provided. Travel and mileage were provided. There was no reason for me not to approve it.
And if a trustee has to pay taxes on a meal or something like that, that's something that they have to pay. There's no question as to that, whether that should be reimbursed or not.
What are you going to say? I can't pay taxes? Like, what? How does that work?
That's not going to fly.
All right, are we calling a roll call here?
What's going on here?
Here's your question. I don't think there's been
you're
a motion.
Right.
I'll make a motion to approve the travel expenses for Trustee Olson and Trustee Barry.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Olson?
No.
Daney?
Yes.
Boyer? Yes. Sias? Absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro? Absent. Barry?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Trustee DeSchmidt, you wanted 1B minutes?
Right. I just wanted to reflect on September 16th at the 7 p.m. board meeting. I know it was not an official meeting of voting on anything, but we did explore some things. And on page 6 on the internet, but page 3 on the board packet, it was just, I had a question on the exhaust fan replacement. And the facilities manager, Larry Siegel, did state that the company they worked with did not perform all the work. They subcontracted out some of the work. And I just wanted that in the body of explanation that's on the tape. That's all.
That was included in the contract, though.
Pardon?
It was included in the...
I had asked for a copy of it, and you gave it to me, but nowhere on there was...
I highlighted it in the one that it says that I have right here.
Yeah, sure.
In the quote, it listed it out.
I highlighted it.
It listed the company that was subcontracted?
No, it just said that they will provide the bricklayer.
Right, so I had asked, was that person with their company? And Larry said no, it was subcontracted. So at that time, we should have had the name of the subcontractor company. We should have that information.
Is that something that we need to make a motion on, or is that just you're going to make
it? I just wanted it added in. That's what he stated, that they had a subcontractor. I just wanted to know the name of it. He just said it was a subcontract. They subcontracted, and I don't think you gave any information. Okay. Was. I just wanted it added in there. That's all.
Do you need a motion?
Yeah.
What?
You need a motion?
I don't think I need a motion. We're just going to have you add that to...
Well, then we'd have to...
We need a motion.
No. We need a motion to amend the minutes or table.
I make a motion to amend the minutes, September 16th, 7 p.m. board meeting, on page 3, to add the company subcontracted out some of the work.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Olson.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias, absent. DeSchmidt.
Yes.
Vaccaro, absent. Barry.
Yes.
Okay, I believe now we have voted on everything that's been pulled out of the consent agenda. So do I have a motion for the remainder, which is C, D, G, and I?
So moved.
Moved in. Seconded. Roll call.
Olson.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias, absent. DeSchmidt.
Yes.
Vaccaro, absent. Barry.
Yes.
Okay. Reports, questions, comments from the director or staff?
We just have one thing to share with you, and that is our brand new, used.
It's in the strategic plan update.
Oh, sorry. I'm under thunder. Never mind. I don't have anything.
I'm going to go on. Never mind. The packet, but
can
yes,
we see a demonstration?
Okay. All right.
Come on. Write it around.
I don't have anything. Does anyone from the management team have anything?
Okay, now from the trustees.
I have several things. First of all, I'd like to start by thanking youth librarian Liesl Metz for her time spent with the library. She was actually going back out into the local schools to make visits, which I think is wonderful. I hope that this will be a practice that we continue. I know that it had been suspended when, I believe, Roseanne Melke had left.
We did not suspend it for Roseanne.
No, we suspended it for COVID.
I know it's done with preschools, but I didn't believe that it had been done with elementary.
Yeah, we've always been going out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think she did an excellent job for us. I also want to thank the staff for identifying and hiring a new teen librarian. I happened to hear about this at the conference. I sat down next to a fellow that apparently was her boss, and who informed me that she was joining our library, and they were sad to see her leave. So, in looking at the department reports, I'm concerned. In the marketing department report this month, it made a comment about what a great success the September library card sign-up had been with 139 new cards. In fact, if one looks at September 23, we added 152 new cards. The 139 is not an exceptional number. I would ask that when you do that sort of thing in your reports, please give us comparative information, because it becomes nothing but noise and misleading, although I don't think it's intentional. All right. At the September 2016, 2024 meeting that I did not attend, Trustee Boyer made a statement questioning whether I had a conflict in my role as a trustee. I don't. My actions and questions are based on my careful review of materials presented to the board, the information that I collect based on what I observe happening in other libraries I visit, and my discussions with trustees, directors, and staff of other libraries that I come into contact with. I asked Trustee Boyer whether she believes that when she has missed 19 board meetings, special board meetings, and committee meetings in her little over 4 years of being on the board, whether she really has a commitment to serve on this board.
We never had that conversation. Trustee Olson is lying. Do you want to continue?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to continue?
I'm done.
Right.
Because that is what was in the minutes, and that's what was on the tape. And I listened to the tape.
Find the tape. You're lying.
So let's try to move ahead with something positive, unless somebody else had a comment to make.
Well, I was going to say that kind of like the ILA convention was very great this year. There were two that came out to me. The first was put on by the, her name was Beth, I think, from the Peloton Library, about burnout in libraries. And I recommended that probably she could come. She does presentations. And she goes out to other libraries and gives a presentation. I recommended for her in-service day. Also, there was a gentleman who called, also with the director of the Peloton Library, what librarians can do to stay safe. He's a retired police officer with years of experience of dealing with people and to avoid personal harm to oneself. And I also recommended that individual for in-service day. Now, there was also a very great, Betty Adamowski and staff, not staff, but other from her committee, is going to be a new library standards 5.0. It's going to be completely online. It probably should be going on later this year or early next year. And I had something first of my life in Peoria. That was pickle soup.
That's where those $1,000 came.
I sat there and kind of like pickle soup. I've got to try it. Plenty of recipes out there for it, so.
I'll make sure I will skip that.
That sounds awful.
It was good.
Was it good?
Yes.
I'm a fan of pickle, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Was it in a block or a cream sauce?
It was kind of a more of a cream sauce, but there was pickles, there was potatoes, there was carrots, onions in it. It was very tasty.
Like a stew. And you didn't bring any back.
The report questions, comments for directors and staff passed, but if I could add one thing, is that I just want to say I'm thankful to have Carolyn back. So welcome back. And I just want to thank, if any of our staff are listening in the future, and everybody's here, it is you who run the library. It's not administration. Like, we do a lot of administrative things, but this library wouldn't run without every single person in this room and every single person in this library. So it made my job easy. But
I thought you all did an amazing job in her absence.
Yeah. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Well, now I have to put it out because I did not worry concerned myself, and I knew that you would handle it, and you did. And the management team did great. And we are blessed and very lucky to have the staff that we have.
On the fourth one.
Yeah.
And I just had something to say. The foundation did a fundraiser with Atlas Chicken, and we raised $300 towards the Patty Perkins one.
Really? Yeah, that's great.
That's better than the car wash thing.
Yeah, it was very good.
And the few things that I went, I even showed Carolyn on my receipt for the foundation, you know, was like, one was 1 cent, another one was 30 cents. I was like, how can that be? So whoever was doing it
wasn't doing it, right?
No, for Atlas Chicken.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, because that was, one bill was $15, and it was like 1 cent, my bill.
Oh,
for the food was $15, and it was only 1 cent, and I was like, that didn't seem to count.
No, something wasn't right. Yeah, so, but no, we had $300.
Nice.
I did go on site, I think it was Tuesday, and all 3 days, just making sure the posters and it were right, but stood outside, they let me stand outside and hand the extra flyers and things out just to remind people. And the people that were coming in that already ordered on the phone, they just brought the slip in, the guy working there, so just have him bring it in and we'll modify it. So it worked out pretty good. I was nice. Happy for it. And they want to do it again next year. So, yeah. Anybody else?
All right, let's move on to our action items. The tax levy ordinance.
So from my understanding, James was out while I was gone and reviewed the tentative levy. Nothing has changed from that levy, so we're asking that you approve the levy, the certification of authenticity tax levy ordinance, and then the taxation of certification of compliance.
Well, I'll make a motion. Can we make a motion to consolidate all three? Okay, I'll bring a motion to approve the tax levy ordinance 2024-4. The certification of authenticity tax levy ordinance 2024-4, the truth in taxation certification compliance.
Second.
Have a roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Dainey?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias is absent. Dishman?
Yes.
Vaccaro is absent. Barry?
Yes.
Okay, now the selling and soliciting on library property.
Miller. We had a lot of different, we've been reviewing policies, and so we saw that we had a lot of different policies about selling and soliciting on library property. We're trying to consolidate all those, and then we also included a bit about circulating petitions on library policies since it's election time, and we just want to remain neutral as an indoor space. So that's all included in this policy.
I'll bring a motion to approve the selling and soliciting on library property policy.
Second.
Yes, Trustee Olson.
Discussion. Under the soliciting donations in the library, talks about the donation box being located in the lobby. And it also, again, says that a second time. I've never seen the donation box in the lobby.
We normally keep it here by the circulation. It's the brown box that we often put by the circulation.
No, I know where the box sits. It's generally at the end of the rack where the games are, video games. I guess I don't consider that the lobby.
Yeah. I mean, we can remove that
boarding. I personally, I think this outer area outside this room, just inside the front door is the lobby.
You can remove the bits that say the
maybe
lobby.
Maybe we can change that to clarify. And I also believe that the policy should be amended to specifically exclude the foundation and the Friends of the Library. Because both those organizations do in fact have internal to the library fundraising activities that occur multiple times during a year.
But would that not fall under, like, if it's been approved by the library? So that it's in compliance with the policy?
Yes.
We can add wording that specifically says that, but I feel like the friends and the foundation have the library's approval, so therefore these policies that say you need library approval.
Yes, there's something like that.
Yeah, I'll have my motion to include.
And she's not including anything. We're saying that the friends and the foundation are already automatically approved because they're supporting the library.
But
I think Trustee Olson wants to make sure the language is clear.
I can make the language clear. I can make a note at the bottom or something.
Yeah, I'd like it to be spelled out so that if we have a third party come in and want to do multiple, that we can say, because both the foundation and the friends are separate corporate entities. They may be loosely affiliated with the library, but they're separate
corporations. I can make a note on this to exclude the friends of the Bartlett Library and the Bartlett Public Library Foundation are excluded from this policy.
Yep.
They're not corporations. They're separate entities. But don't word it.
They're separate corporations.
I'll just list those two, the names specifically. So I'll put do you want just like a note at the bottom? Is that what you're looking for?
That would be fine. Okay. So we'll just end the document.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will amend it that way.
So I would make an amendment to Trustee Barry's motion to exclude through language the Friends of the Public of the Bartlett Public Library and the Bartlett Library Foundation.
Bartlett Public Library Foundation.
Yes, I know, not district.
And they do have district in here, just so you know.
Okay.
It's on page 64 on the computer. They listed the foundation as a district. It's just one area.
Okay, so we have a...
And I'll remove in the lobby from the...
Yeah, in the lobby. Okay. So do we have a motion for the amended solicitation on library property policy?
Yes, David made a motion.
Pardon me?
David made a motion.
Joe made the amended motion.
Yeah, he amended.
I withdraw whatever I said, Kevin, Trustee.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
here's
one second.
So I need a second.
He needs a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias is absent. De Schmidt?
Yes.
Vaccaro is absent. And Barry?
Barry.
Barry.
Yes.
Check signing policy.
The only changes we made to this was just the names of the different departments. You know, in the past we've had payroll specialists and things like that. Those are just not the names of our positions anymore. So the actual content of the check signing policy didn't change. They just changed things to be more ambiguous, like business office or treasurer. Trustee Barry did point out, though, when he was reviewing the board packet, to rather than saying the treasurer, that if the treasurer is unavailable, to make a note that in his place it could be the president, vice president, etc.
I believe at the audit review committee meeting of the board in December of 2023, it was identified that we had a check signing issue with control of keys. And at that time, I believe that the auditor indicated that they were going to get back to the director with specifics as far as...
We've already addressed that.
Yeah. One key is locked in Carolyn's desk, and only myself and her have the key to that. The other key is in a locked combination box that Sam has the combination to. Sam and Katie have the combination. No, the, Katie doesn't. Sam does.
No, Sam.
How did you get access to the keys?
Because Carolyn has been out for the past 6 weeks.
Well, just to keep the record clear, I'm going to make a motion to approve the check signing policy. And this is basically, we're getting the discussion of it, so we should have a motion, second, then discussion.
Second.
Is there any more discussion? Is there any more discussion?
I'm not going to approve it.
That's fine.
So I just want to, I just wanted to understand, yeah, I had a question. So I just want to understand. I know at the time you were director, okay. So right now as it stands, Carolyn, you have the key to one?
Two keys. We have two keys that need to come together to make the check signing machine work.
Okay.
One of them is locked in Carolyn's desk.
Okay.
That I have a key to since she was gone. So Carolyn has to do it. The other key is in a box that has this combination that you have to put in. I don't know the combination, neither does Carolyn.
And that's where the plate is?
And that's where the second key is to make the machine work. So two keys.
Okay.
It's like, no. I didn't.
Roll call?
Roll call.
Olson?
Thank you.
No.
Danny?
Yes.
Boyer? Yes. Sias? Absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Licaro? Absent. Barry?
Yes.
The collection development policy.
Yeah, so this goes hand in hand with this next item, the interlibrary loan policy. The interlibrary loan policy was also an appendix of the collection development policy, and it was just getting messy. Every time we changed one policy, we have to change both policies, and so we're asking to just remove the interlibrary loan policy from the collection development policy, have it stand alone, and then collection development policy as it is without the interlibrary. So in the future, if anything changes with interlibrary loans, we only have to change the one policy. So no content is being changed, it's just the
one. Okay, I'll bring a motion to approve the collection development policy and the interlibrary loan policy.
Second.
Any other discussion?
Yes, I'd like to take them separately. Under the collection development policy, page one, under responsibility of collection, states, operates under the, referring to the director, operates under the framework of policies determined by the Board of Trustees. I think that's vague. Can we be more specific as to what the governing policies are that apply? I mean, you know, it just basically, I don't think says what our, doesn't refer to anything that the board has acted upon, will act on. It's just vague. I mean,
but basically the board is approving the collection development policy, and then you guys tell me to take this collection development policy and go to the managers, and they
delegate
based on the policy.
No, but what the language says is it operates under the framework of policies determined by the Board of Trustees. Not this policy, other policies.
Well, that was probably because the ILL policy was included.
Well, there's a lot of different appendices in here as well. There's the freedom to read, ALA Bill of Rights, also the statement for concern of YMI resources. That's all included in this. I'm sure that's plural.
All the
appendices. I agree with Carolyn that it's about the policy.
I'd like to see them identified, not what the contents are, but the policies that this is giving the authority to the director, which is the right thing to do for her to have that authority.
That's what the policy includes. That's what everything in the policy is doing. It's saying this is what we choose books by. This is how we do things, this is the library of things, intellectual freedom, key selection. That's what's guiding the terminology. That's the framework that's guiding the library director to delegate it to everything.
Trustee Barry.
Yeah, I would like to speak in favor of the vagueness, because legally vagueness is not necessarily wrong. Ambiguity think of is vagueness allows for things to change. Like I said, we have all these appendices, but if something happens that changes, we don't have to go back and change the policy again. And that's why I, in this case, I think vagueness is okay. I think, actually, I think vagueness is a strength.
Under, on page 5 under income tax statements, line 5 states a donation form is available that can be used for the donor records. I'd like to see a copy of that as an addendum to...
Here, it's the next page, the donation
agreement. No, the income tax statement.
First, that's what we give to people when they donate votes.
The little slips?
Yeah, the little slips. Is that what you're asking for? Yeah, we have them at circulation when people donate books to the Friends of the Library.
I understand that, but any time that we're referring to a form in a policy, I think the form should be included as an addendum to the policy. Not because if a staff, if we're training staff and asking them to review policies and all the documents that are part of that policy and what's happening aren't together, it becomes confusing.
There's a difference between policy and procedure, though. So people at circulation are trained by the procedure of when people are donating books, that this is the procedure of giving them this text.
And it's working.
And it's working.
Exactly.
Yeah, never had issues.
So let's just roll with it.
I'm going to call a question.
Thank you. Are we going to vote on these separately, or are we going to combine them?
Combine.
Well, I'm not done then if we're going to vote on combined.
Okay,
on interlibrary loan policy, I have a couple questions. Is there a reason that we don't do interlibrary loan requests where there is a cost associated? And to go further, shouldn't we be considering offering this as an option at the requester's expense?
I do not believe so. We can't remember the last time I got a request to actually pay a library. Most patrons are satisfied with the material we can get for free, and I see no reason to include that as an option.
Okay. And under paragraph 4, it references the suggestion to purchase form. Again, this is, I think, something that should be as an addendum to the policy. You know, we're talking about it. I think we should have the example as part of the policy.
I can see that one because it's something similar to the donation policy, so we can, that's not a problem. I can add that as another page.
Are we voting?
So, I'm making a motion to amend the interlibrary loan policy by adding the suggestion for purchase form as an addendum.
To do what? What would be the addendum? I missed what you said.
The suggestion for purchase form. It's a right now it's a yellow form, but it's something that's filled out by a patron who asks the library to purchase an item, whether it be a book or a CD or whatever form the material might take. Title, author, ask for their name, their library card number, and a contact phone number, and I believe email.
So you're asking for the form to be part of the
Right.
As we're going through the...
But don't you think forms might change a little here and there?
That's what Phyllis just said to me.
So what would be the point?
Things like the donation form that we have in here hasn't changed, but something like the suggestion for purchase form, that's something that could change more frequently, but it's...
And I think as we're working through all of these policies, we're finding a lot of crossover between policy and procedure, and we're trying to define in all of these. So my recommendation would not be to include it, and I would actually take out the donation form because that to me is more procedural. But I think that's something that we will look at when we're reviewing each policy.
We also accept suggestions for purchase via a web form, and we treat those exactly the same as the paper forms. So there are multiple ways to suggest a purchase. For example, even if it's an interlibrary loan request and we can't get it from another library, we may consider purchasing it.
So does the patron have to come back in the library and fill the form out?
No, often the staff do that on correct.
Yeah, so I was going like to say, yeah. Okay, just ask. Never had that experience.
I think the more we try to add things to these policies, the more cumbersome it's going to start to get. And like Sandra just pointed out, you know, if we're doing it online, which more people are these days, I don't think that we need to add all these additional procedures to the policy. So, please help remind me.
There was a motion on the floor. Dave had made a motion to approve the collection development ILL policy, and then Monica seconded it, and then Joe made a motion to add the suggestion for purchase form. So, Bob has
seconded. Okay. So, I need a second. I'll second it.
Okay. Well, I have something to say on the motion to amend is that we're trustees. We're supposed to operate at the macro level, not the micro level. How the what forms that the library uses, that's something for the staff to do, the director to come up. That is really not our purview as trustees. I believe that we're supposed to have this overview, not the procedural, day-to-day procedural things. So that's why I'm going to vote no on the amendment.
So we're still going to vote.
Roll call. Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
We're amending the policy. No.
Boyer, no. Size absent. DeSchmidt?
No.
Vaccaro absent. Barry?
No.
Moving on our discussion items. Strategic plan?
Well, you have to approve the policy. There was a motion on the table.
I'll make a motion to approve the two policies.
Well, there was already a motion.
Oh, you're right. You already did.
So I'm going to call the question.
To approve the original two
policies.
Amendments or anything.
Yes.
Okay.
But should we take the donation form out?
We take the donation form out because they have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're saying.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call?
Roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias absent. DeSchmidt? Yes. Vaccaro absent. Barry?
Yes.
Boys and girls, this should not be, this is not rocket science. Okay, our discussion items. The strategic plan update. Can we talk about that?
Before we do that, can we tell them about our famous painting that we have?
Oh yeah, we have a...
Let's ask the trivia question.
Oh, is it in the room that I was in earlier?
A 5 minute break?
Yes.
Okay, 5 minute break.
Thank recess. You.
Carol really, boys and girls.
Which in the room it was. Mallory, what room is it in?
Four. Yeah, that's where I was. Yeah, I saw this painting. I go,
do you know who it is? Don't say if you know.
No, but I saw who It was donated by...
It wasn't donated.
Oh, no, well, you were in, you said you were in five after.
No, right.
The one that, yeah, the one you were in first. The one
I
that,
read it.
But it doesn't have a plaque.
Oh, one of them had a
the
gold?
One, the second room you were in has a plaque. That's
okay.
Not the one.
So I have to go to see which one.
Oh.
So we can do a bathroom break? He's doing great. How old is he? 18? He is so cute. He really is my my little twin, and he has my attitude.
I love it.
Watch out, world.
I've been trying to
look him down.
That was the second.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I've been trying really hard to find
him. I know.
It's a...
Oh, so yeah, so he, um, we don't take over. Oh, fun. That was the best thing. Now my kid doesn't want to do anything with me. They're not cool till you're 20. There's another place that everybody goes to Gophers, but I saw something on Facebook. There's another person. Oh, is it here in West Chicago? Sunny Acres?
No, not Sunny Acres, because you got to pay for everything there too. No, this place is a little out, further out west. But I saw it on Facebook and people were raving about it. Gophers is fine, but you got to pay, you know, to get in. This other place, it is just one fee, but everything was included. And they said it was huge and there was all kinds of areas for the kids to play and everything. But I did see it on Facebook. If I find it, I'll send it to you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all the fall activities.
Do you know where the Morton Salt Company is?
In Chicago.
Yeah.
So there's a huge farmers thing there, you know, like a fall fest. And my niece was hired to do a lot of the murals.
Ooh.
For and the on the Golden Bachelor. The hometown date was in Chicago, and it was filmed, and a lot of her murals and paintings were on TV.
How cool is
that?
Wow.
I do not watch that show.
Yeah, me neither.
I watched The Golden Bachelorette, and it was awful.
Yeah, the first one.
Oh my God!
What
yeah.
a joke that yeah. was. Pay for the wedding, and then what? 6 months later. Yeah.
We gotta get entertained somehow, right?
I guess.
Yeah, Doug and I were talking about reminiscing about when TJ was little and trick or treating.
Are you taking
Magnus
trick or treating?
You were Woody.
Yeah, we're gonna take. He's the first grandchild, the first.
So he's like the guy.
He is boy king.
Aww.
Boy king. Then. Yeah, so we've gotta take him everywhere.
What's he gonna be for Halloween?
Bluey. What about your girl?
I don't know. I like want them to be comfortable. Audrey's just in like a tantrum phase right now, so I'm like, I can't get away with putting her in anything. But she ate blueberries the other day, and her whole mouth like turned blue, and her nose turned blue, and she had like a little brown hat on. She looked like a bear. So I was like, oh, make you a little bear.
That'd be cute.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
So.
Should be Violet.
You should be Violet.
Could all be Willy Wonka. Turn Emma into a little bug.
I tried to watch that Wonka show or movie.
Oh, it's a musical.
I have no idea. It really wigged me out.
Nobody knew.
I did not care
for
it.
That was like the biggest feedback. Everybody was like, this is a musical?
Yeah, I did not care for it. But did you see they're coming out with a movie about Wicked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A movie about Wicked?
Yeah.
It's
who's starring in it?
Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
My sister has on her license plates Defying Gravity.
Oh.
You know, acronym, and she's been to see Wicked like 50 times.
I'm so excited. The different perspective,
yeah.
I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, let's get back to strategic plan update.
Sorry, just making note of what time it is. With a minute. In your packet are updates from the strategic plan. This is everything that has been continued upon since the last update in July, I believe it was in July. And I noted the things that we have completed, so if you have questions, we're happy to answer them.
But we want to highlight.
We want to highlight our book bite. We did get this book bite from Rails, free for sale and munted. The Lake Bluff Library was getting rid of it, and we have been wanting a book bite, and so we said we'll take it. So we just have to update the branding and things like that, but we hope we'll be able to have it in use for next, starting in the spring, whenever the weather gets nice again. It's getting too cold now to, well, not today, but.
Yeah, 80 degrees is way too cool.
Big ideas for it.
That's awesome. That's a great acquisition.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Right now it says Lake Bluff. Don't worry about that. Just ignore that bit. But thank you to the Lake Bluff Library.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our blessing.
Great deal.
And like Trustee DeSchmidt mentioned, we could sell ice cream while we're selling books.
I know. What's that?
Need some bells on there?
It has a bell.
It has a bell. Has a bell.
Mallory wrote it around.
Oh my gosh, Mallory, let's just see how it works. Come on. Come on. Just ride that baby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you have to have
a fancy.
We can take it to the bike repair station.
We have some really great books.
Up. We have an umbrella that goes on top.
Oh, that's nice.
Very nice.
Nice acquisition.
Did they say why they were getting rid of it?
I believe it was just like their community was just not very bike friendly. They just had nowhere to take it.
It's very small, and they only have like a farmer's market as a community event.
Oh.
And they're happening now.
Sounds perfect.
They were down on staff, and they have an interim director right now, so there's just a lot of change going on, and it wasn't a high priority for them. We have to send them a thank you.
I'm curious, any sense of how heavy it is when it's loaded?
All of books? We have not loaded it with books just yet, but I have ridden it myself without books, and it's pretty smooth. So I think with books in it, the weight balances out evenly, so I don't think it would be that difficult. But I do not know.
Just seems like you're pushing a lot if you've got a lot of books. Build muscles.
Yes. Yep.
What if you get a police car?
A police escort.
To
escort you
helpful,
to the...
Yeah. We'll be able to advertise every bike repair station, for advertising, go to a lot of different community events, bring it for National Night Out, all kinds of different things. I think it'll be really fun. Nice and useful.
Okay. Any questions on the...
I have a couple. Working with item 2.5,
mm-hmm.
looking into partnering with community businesses, I guess I was surprised to see Arts and Bartlett. I don't consider that to be a business.
Oh.
Well, no.
Wow, they're real big community.
Yes,
no, I'm not saying
they took
that,
me on for my author's event. They're very big.
No, I'm not saying that they're not a community organization that's very active. I thought when we were talking about this that it was intended for things like for-profit businesses in the community, you know, partnering with things such as perhaps a graphic arts company who could come in and give a graphics design program, a food supplier who might do you know, a cooking sort of thing, a medical supply business, a grocer, you know, with nutritionists, that sort of thing,
a
hardware store building supply store, those sorts of things. So that's just what I had envisioned there.
It's not that we don't want to do those things. This is just one thing that we have been working on. The Arts and Bartlett reached out to us actually about working and partnering. So this point doesn't not include those points. We'd love to do all those things as well as work with other people.
And I'm also curious about what kind of reaction you got in terms of the trying to partner with businesses to do incentives, but you just didn't get response at all, or?
We thought about it a little too late to do the legwork of really reaching out to businesses thoroughly. We were planning library card sign-up month, and we said this would be a really great chance to do the whole, like, let's show your library card, get an incentive, but we just did not have enough time to get the word out and connect with businesses, and so therefore a small chunk of businesses got the message from the chamber. I work with Mary Smith.
But the way it was communicated was weird.
Just like miscommunicated. And so we had the newsletter deadline coming up. And so we had a couple businesses reach out and say they were interested, and we just didn't have it enough for it to be a big enough event. So I reached out to them and I just said, you know, we're going to plan this a little further out when we can have more people participate and it'd be more worthwhile. So,
because I know that a number of the libraries I visited do have mm-hmm. robust programs mm-hmm. like that. It's not impossible.
No, we were trying to correlate it with the library card sign-up month, and we just kind of ran into too many deadlines, and so we want to make it, but it's not this time around.
It definitely is possible. The past libraries have worked that, they've all done that in part of those situations. So it is possible, but like Mallory said, it just, at the time we did think about it, deadlines, this newsletter, and then people just getting back to us at the tail end of our deadlines, and we just, it wasn't going to work out at the moment. But we do have plans to do that and make it possible.
Thank you.
Good job. The food trucks.
So, no harm, no foul. It's been working pretty well.
Foul chicken.
She did email me, I think yesterday or today, and told me that she's busy with trunk or treat events this week and asked if she could switch to Thursday. I told her, I did not respond because I knew we were having this discussion tonight, but I'm going to probably tell her no because we had originally decided on Wednesdays. She asked if she could continue into November. So I did not respond to her yet because I knew this was on the agenda for a discussion item. Overall, I think it went pretty well. There was one issue with garbage at one point, but we notified them about it and it worked out really well with her being more diligent about picking up the garbage.
It was a small little piece of garbage.
Yeah, it was just one tiny little piece. But. We just wanted to let you know how it went and get your feedback as to whether or not you want to grow this program, continue it, or give us guidance or direction on what you would like to see in the future.
Oh, okay, as regarding to Thursday night, I don't particularly see a problem. I don't know how that would affect other library. And I was wondering about when she was going to call. November. And I thought it might be a good time after she. This is something I think we should review in like January. Talk more about the pros and cons and whether we need to change it or make it bigger next year. But those are my thoughts.
Do we have. From Corey's Coop, a liability policy specifically naming the library as a covered insured?
Yeah, yeah, we have certificate of insurance.
We're really careful about that now.
I know that when I first came on the board, there was strong concern about when I mentioned doing license plate renewals and notary services, that Trustee Barry at the time felt very strongly that we shouldn't be competing with local businesses. And I'm not sure that by allowing a business to operate on our properties, that we're not in fact endorsing a local business over other providers of food services in the community. And I'm not sure that that's a position that we should be taking.
I don't think this is an apples to apples comparison.
I don't recall being that against notaries or stuff like that. I know I've never been against notaries. I mean, I think the library had we didn't have the staff or the training to provide notary service.
And we did look into passport services, and we were told that because we're too close to Hanover Township, that they won't do it because we're so close to them. Right. And then the license, I don't remember.
License was also at the township, and they do it online now, too.
And the notary is
no, my point is that we're competing. We're allowing competition.
Not really with the food trucks, because no one else has reached out. You know, you got pierogi place. Wait one moment, then. We've had pierogi places. You've seen them. They're by Ace Hardware. Or they'll go to Home Depot. No one has reached out to the library. Now, if they've reached out to individual people, then that person should maybe, you know, bring it to the library director. But as far as I know, no other food truck.
There was one, the breakfast place, but I reached out to her and she never contacted me back.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be fair to anybody that reached out.
Sure. I think in January it's kind of like when we have these various events, is that like music and kind of like they have some food trucks here, you know, to reach out to them. And if they, whoever responds.
We've looked into it in the past, and for an event like that, they target a minimum of what you would expect to spend, right? Sandra, do you remember that?
So a lot of food trucks, before they make a commitment to come out, they want us to ensure that we have a certain amount of foot traffic, and if we don't, then we would have to make up the difference.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And that gets expensive.
Okay, sure.
Just to
okay. Sit. Trying to tread lightly here. I just feel like I just want to say this as not just a trustee, but just a patron in the community, looking at the library and what the library has to offer and has done for everybody in my family and what they represent. Just like I look at the village and the park district and other areas. And I feel when you are looking at a public facility, and I'm trying to include, you know, everybody in this. You look at a public facility like the village, the library, any public facility, other public library districts, they will have food trucks when there's an event going on, but not on a regular basis. And the concern that I have on that is, you know, if it was my sister that owned the truck, I still would be saying this. I just want you to know, it's not about anybody's truck or who the owner is. It's just that I feel that if we can make it in conjunction with the library events, I would feel better than just having somebody out here, because Bartlett is a small community. We have DuPage and Cook County businesses that are brick and mortar that have worked so hard to keep their businesses going through COVID and everything. And I feel we owe everybody in Bartlett business. And we can't on a weekly basis or monthly basis be responsible to run a library and to run a rotation of food trucks and everything. And I feel that we should just take a breath and step back. It was a trial. It seemed to have gone well, and maybe we can revisit it again next year and see if we can reconnect it. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that we have a lot of brick and mortar businesses that really depend on the community as well as the food truck. And if we're supporting one business, we could be going down a road where we could get some feedback. I did reach out to another library locally that's a library district, and they would never do anything on a weekly basis. The library director said, we only do food trucks in conjunction with an event because we're a library, and our library events, we can have vendors come in. But on a regular basis, we're not supporting a vendor. And the gentleman mentioned that it can become a conflict of interest, and it could appear like there's favoritism. And that's just his quote. So I just wanted to let you know that I feel that it was a nice event, and I know that they market very well in different communities. They're just not in Bartlett. You know, the trucks go all over. I did happen to meet somebody at this Oktoberfest and complimented her on all her goodies. And I don't know if she... I just said, where else have you gone? She goes, well, I tried calling the Bartlett Library, and they said that they don't do any food trucks. So that could be the lady that you talked to that you never got back to. So I can't remember her business, but she was there. And they met with the cupcakes or sweets or something.
No, that's the breakfast place.
Oh, so anyways.
Coffee.
Is it Rebecca?
No, it wasn't Rebecca, it was somebody else. She's out of Bloomingdale or that. So I just said I wasn't aware of anything, but she didn't know I was a trustee on the library board.
Delights.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Delights.
Delights. So she said, I would have loved it at the library. So she said, but when I called, they weren't doing that. So I'm just saying that's just one example of, I just think that if we have an event, maybe we have an event in the library and we want to host the truck outside, or we have an event outside, we could somehow make it part of the library event. And then I think it would be easier accepted than just having it parked out there every week. I've actually had her food, and I've attended a different function, and she was at, and there's nothing about it. It's just that there's a lot of businesses in Bartlett, and you know, as on the foundation, we look to some of these businesses to help us, and I don't want them to, you know, say that you're supporting somebody and not another. So I think that, you know, just considering everything that we have to look at, that it's just, we have brick and mortar businesses, and we have to consider everything. And I think food trucks are great for venues, and when we have an event, I think it's great. Other than that, I am not in favor for having it on a regular basis. That's just how I feel.
Okay, and responsible for your ordinance and purchasing.
I'm going to refer to Dave, Trustee Barry on this.
Yes, I was handed this ordinance by to the Wayne Township Highway Commissioner. I looked at it, and I know that building is really important and how we get contractors, et cetera, really important. So I wanted this included and compare it with our current purchasing policy. Could we update anything to make it better going on in the future? And I invite everyone here to look at it, see if there's certain paragraphs that could be incorporated in our purchasing policy or ones that are not, whatever, but I thought that would be a good exercise that we can look back in November or December, see if we need any amendments there. So thank you.
I have, on the purchasing policies, there are a couple things in here that I'm wondering if it's in compliance with current law, state law. And the reason I'm asking is I know that, well, I'm guessing, I don't know this for a fact, I'm guessing that purchasing policies by governmental agencies or governmental bodies are pretty consistent across type of governmental body in terms of dollar limits. And I know that within the last month in the Examiner, there was an article about the fire district lowering its policy from 30,000 to 20,000 to be in compliance with state law. And yet we've got 25,000 here.
Because we just recently, our state raised the law or the amount from 20 to 25,000 for public bids.
No, I understand that, yeah. But this just happened with the fire district.
So I think fire districts are different than libraries.
I'd like us to just double check with our legal counsel to make sure that our limits are in fact, because we just started a new state fiscal year, and oftentimes state law changes are effective the first of the year, so there may be some change either currently signed legislation or pending that's been passed by the legislature, but perhaps not yet signed by the governor. There, in this, there's under provisions, on page one, provisions, item under A, 25,000 is referenced, under B, 25,000 is referenced, and again, the second page, under four, it's referenced. So I'm just asking that we make sure that we're in fact compliant with current state statute that governs our requirements. And also it's under joint purchasing, there's another $25,000 reference. Okay. Now, I also have a question about, in this policy, under four specialized contracts, item C, contracts for purchase of magazines, books, periodicals, and similar articles of educational or instructional material. I guess I don't have an understanding of why, with the exception of limited purchases that I see through Amazon, we're only using one vendor for materials. And having gone to the ILA conference, I learned a couple of things. That one was that all the publications now by James Patterson, who's a very popular artist or author, are no longer being sold, I believe, by our primary vendor, and they're being done independently now. But there also seems to be a situation where many of those materials that we may be purchasing, I don't know the grade of the materials that we purchase in terms of the bindings, the durability of bindings, but there seem to be, at least in the children's area, some companies that are published, the original publishers, that can provide a better price product, same product that they sell to our vendor that we're buying from. at basically the same cost. And because they're the publisher, better availability, because our publisher or our vendor is buying limited quantities and they sell out of those quantities, they're not necessarily going to go back and buy again. So I don't know. It's just a question of why do we choose certain vendors?
I think staff probably has a good handle on what's the best way to go money-wise and what's available out there. Carolyn? I think that's up to the staff. And anything else? Nothing else, I'm going to move along to the director's report, which is just for informational purposes only.
Carolyn, I did register for the IOA legislative meetup.
I received it. Yeah, I received the bill and will pay it with the November bills.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Okay, thanks. And then I did put in your box, my mailboxes, we just got a notification about the TIF meeting, the next TIF meeting, which is November 7th. So that just came in the mail today, so I put paper copies in your mailbox. That's just the joint review.
Oh, the annual.
Yeah, nothing about the
okay,
special
not, TIF. Not the Lake yeah. Street. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Madam President?
Sure.
I'm going to make a motion that we go over executive session as permitted by 5L. ILCSA Section 2C1, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public by or legal counsel for the public.
All right,
there's
a motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Gainey?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Licaro's absent. Barry?
Yes.
I make a motion to resume the regular board meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Olson.
Yes.
Gainey.
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias is absent. DeSchmidt.
Yes.
Licaro is absent. Barry.
Yes.
I make a motion to end the regular board meeting.
Second.
Public adjourn.
Roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Gainey?
Yes.
Boyer, yes. Sias is absent. DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Licaro is absent. Barry?
Yes.
Thank you.